what they had to do, they were so completely excluded when they came in by the dozens, by the scores, several hundred even. I'm not sure if there were that many, but, you know, massive numbers of them. They were, you know, they had to go out and file their own referendum. And then when they got that together, Kennedy and Rodkin were able to go to Sterling Frost and these head honchos and subvert the whole process, even when the signatures were there, to turn back what the city council had done.
Right. Well, I mean, that's part of the problem, is that these guys involve themselves in ways that may or may not be ethical. I mean, myself, I think for them to go to the board members of the ANZA and give them their own BS lines and, you know, scare the bejesus out of them, and then have the board go before the people there and say, we can't do this referendum. You know, just, you know, if we do this, we're gonna be responsible for shutting down Loud Nelson Center. We're gonna be responsible for shutting down the pool in Harvey West Park. You know, we're the ones that are gonna be the bad guys here.
All this to protect basic rent control.
You know, and then the city's doing, you know, we're supposedly in this budget crisis, and the city's building a damn soccer field over at the depot site with money that's supposed to be transportation money. Now, right now, the state is in a physical crisis. The state is currently going through every dollar that they give any city or county in the state, and any dollar that's misspent is going to have to be paid back by these cities. As soon as the state finds out that the city is spending this money that's supposed to be transportation funds and it's supposed to be for a parking lot on a soccer field, the city's going to have to pay all that money back. Hmm. You know, and they use their powers of eminent domain to get rid of the seed and feed so they can make the soccer field bigger. And, you know, that cost them an extra $1 million right there. And I'm not sure where they got that money from, or if it's just some loan that was generated through the redevelopment agency, which is probably how it happened.
Well,
and it's just, I mean, these guys are wasting money constantly. And then now they're going to put a thing on the ballot to try to raise our sales tax so they can continue to misspend money. And myself, I am going to fight against the sales tax.
This is a subject for another show, Scott.
Right, but I'm going to fight against the sales tax because these guys spend money like a bunch of drunken pirates on leave.
Which you'll be happy, we'd be happy to invite you in to talk more about that. Thanks for giving us your analysis of, you know, what happened on the 13th.
Uh-huh.
And talk to you more later.
All right.
All righty, man.
Bye.
And we're coming to the last 10 minutes of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. You got things to say, you better shout them out pretty darn quick. Hoping perhaps we can get an update from Louis LaFortune, who has his own show. I saw him out in front of Safeway on Saturday supporting the strikers. And I know he's been working on restoring basic civil rights to First Night protest, which was removed apparently with the... with the blessing of Kennedy from the first night. I'm not sure exactly what Kennedy's role is, but I didn't certainly hear any public protest from him about the "you can't leaflet, you can't flyer" on the first night parade, and "we'll stick you in the back." This is for the Art and Revolution contingent. In the middle, of course, of America's most destructive war in 40 years since Vietnam, more people have been killed in Vietnam, I mean in Iraq now, more Americans than were killed in Vietnam up to 1965. So we're at the point where Johnson began massive escalation in Vietnam in 65. And, of course, the number of thousands of Iraqis killed, I don't even have them. What is it, 7,000 to 10,000, something like that. And the number of U.S. wounded, I mentioned before, the stat has been that there's more people wounded in the last month than in the first 6 months of the so-called war, the ongoing war, the war on occupation from March to September. And, of course, this morning there was another massive bombing and a series of, 20 deaths and 40 or 60 woundings in Bremer's paradise over there. I usually like to get some discussion of that because I notice, other than the Peace Fridays, which show up regularly, hats off to Susan Zeman and the others who do that work, come to Ocean and Water, 5 o'clock on Fridays. Maybe it's even 4:30, a little earlier. Maybe it's getting later now that we're getting back into the, as time gets more daylight. But, you know, I guess some folks are gearing up for the March 20th protests. We read earlier the Longshore Union voting to vote to stop work on March 20th to protest the war in Iraq. It's going on. It's going on over there as we speak. And I'm looking over the Iraqi situation. I read How Can We Leave Iraq earlier by the Traveling Soldier. I think that was an excellent discussion. Last time, Old Lady Scarms called in and asked me to read the Howard Zinn statement on getting out of Iraq. And I'm going to try to see if I can find that here on the internet. I may have it right down here, and I may not, of course. That's always gets kind of problematic. He wrote a statement about how to get out of Vietnam. It seems to me that the short answer is pretty clear, and the short answer is by plane or by ship. Take your pick. I guess you can't walk. I guess you could walk out of Iraq. You'd walk to the neighboring countries. And that's the obvious way to get out of there. Ship or plane, either is good. I'm unable to find that Zen thing, but it is in the current issue of the Progressive magazine for those who are interested, and it's on the Progressive website for those who are interested in checking that out. Let's hear another track from this fine musician from Berkeley, who didn't send his literature, Trevor, and then we'll be wrapping up the show. So. With this monster, what is the name of this instrument?
Guitarón.
A guitarón. And what are you, have you had any friendly visits from the local police advising you on proper guitarón placement?
No, actually, although they sent out that little bulletin, you can't have a case even out here, but no hassle.
There's a bulletin that said you can't have a case? No.
There was a, what was that bulletin? There's about...
Bulletin. There's a bulletin.
Display
device?
Display device. I think that means a guitar case.
1 hour. If we didn't have this,
we could be here forever,
which we just might. Uh-huh. Just get like a big cup and tape it to your chest and said, put the money in here, maybe.
Big hands.
Yeah. That would be cool. Have a big hand come out of your chest,
exactly.
Something like that alien movie. Well,
A hand out.
One of those wacky beer cups with the things that you just wear it on your head and they can throw it on your... As long as it's off, it says on the sidewalk, so technically we could put it right there. And that's not on the sidewalk.
That would be on public property. That would be a violation of another ordinance.
No. This is okay. This is not.
Well, it's okay to sit here, but you can't put a display device on public property.
Probably. Well, you might be right. Unfortunately, you might be.
You might be right there.
No. Ah, no. No. No.
No quotes over here. Okay, so let me ask you this. When were you given a warning for having to move every hour at this location?
No, I have not. Not yet.
But you've been told that you might be given a warning, or you just received a piece of paper?
I just received a piece of paper yesterday.
Who gave it to you?
Some lady gave it to me. I never recognized
it. Yeah. Was it a police officer?
No. No, it was just a regular, ordinary citizen looking at me.
Was she doing it in order to say to you, move along? Or?
No, she wasn't.
No, she just said, are you gentlemen heading toward the street to play music?
Yes.
And we said yes, and I go up, and she says, here you go.
I see. A public-spirited local fascist sympathizer, perhaps?
Yes, I would agree with that.
Right.
Why would tell us any rules, you know?
Right. Yeah, a whole stack of them, that's for sure.
Well, try to keep your noses clean and your guitars upright.
Yeah.
And we're approaching the tarot display in front of O'Neill's. Of the notorious Reverend Doctor. What's cooking, Reverend Doctor? Give us the dope.
Turn that recorder off.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I'll tell you what happened last night.
America wants to know.
I don't want America, I want you to know. I got to tell you something.
All right, we'll take this incompetence and hope that we can pass this word on to everybody. Last chance, Reverend Doctor, you got a ticket last night for panhandling?
After dark.
And when was this?
It was about 7 o'clock at night.
Were you in front of O'Neill's wetsuits as you are now?
No, I was down in front of Uptown Jeans.
And you were, in fact, more than 10 feet from a building?
Yes.
More than 10 feet from a crosswalk?
Yes. And there were people with a sign, they were drunk across the street with a sign that says, give me money so I can go buy a bottle of liquor. And they were just sitting there, and he was watching them, and he did nothing, he wrote me a ticket.
The sergeant has previously warned you about this, and he wrote you a ticket once before, right?
Yes.
This is your second ticket for
giving an illegal psychic analysis.
So he's giving you kind of a different ticket, a kind of a different perspective.
Yes.
A ticket one day for one thing, a ticket. So you've already got a ticket for
psychic
readings without a permit, and that from Sergeant Flippo.
Yes.
And now you have a ticket for panhandling after dark.
Yes. Yes.
Aren't you ashamed?
No, because I the thing is he has no proof I was panhandling. He doesn't have a witness. All that he does is he said he saw me. Receive a donation.
Receiving a donation is not panhandling.
He said he wrote me a ticket for receiving donations or panhandling after dark. That's all I know.
Did he have any other statements he made as he gave you this ticket? Did you say anything?
No, sir. No, sir.
And was he alone?
He just told me. He said that they had had no problems or had no complaints about me, and that that's good. He said, I'll probably have to come up to you and give you one ticket a month. That way I keep my quota up on you, and that way we don't have any problems with people asking me questions.
So he's already given you a ticket, though. You already got your ticket for this month.
He told me, he said there's two things you can't avoid in life, death and taxes. And he told me that he was going to tax me one way or another, and they were going to give me a ticket once a month.
Sounds like a tax. Well, you got this two tickets for this month, though. You got a ticket from him already for...
Yeah, a month ago.
A month ago.
Yes.
And, then you got a ticket before that from...
The
Paminator.
The Paminator.
Yes. Pam Bechtel for being too close to a crosswalk.
Yes. Yes.
But how's Santa Cruz treating you? Are you getting pretty
doing good, kid? Doing it. Rocking and rolling. Rolling and rocking.
So people can come down and get and talk to the Reverend Doctor here in front of Rouge or O'Neill's
wetsuit.
Whatever
they want to get it done. That's where the Reverend is at. We tell people, you got the time, we got the place. We're doing it here. Excuse me, people.
We're talking to a poor man whose hands actually are reaching through his pockets. Your name, sir?
I am...
Think fast.
Shalab.
And Shalab, who is this individual you have on your arm here?
This is Betty.
And you two are local or out of town?
Out of town.
And you're coming to town without money. Are you crazy?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Where are you from?
Morgan Hill.
Oh, well, welcome to Santa Cruz. You're under arrest.
Oh, sucky.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sorry. I don't...
Do you have anything to say for yourself, young woman?
No.
All right, then. Thank you both. And thank you, Reverend Doctor.
You're welcome.
Okay, we're talking with...
Mr. Freeze.
And you have been gone from Santa Cruz for how long?
For about almost a year and a half.
And I know that we saw you frozen down there at the corner next to O'Neill's, and then you suddenly disappeared. You got a ticket or something for it, right?
No, I had got into it with the police, so...
This is an interview with Freeze, an African-American who does an entertainment that involves freezing in one place. You may remember a year or two ago he was doing this in front of O'Neill's when he suddenly disappeared. This is the last interview for those of you who are wondering why the show is going on for so long.
I had went and got incarcerated for 14 months.
Wow. So you were what did they arrest you for?
Fighting the police.
And what were you convicted of?
Two assaults on a peace officer, two batteries on a peace officer, two obstructions, two drunken police, and one weed charge.
You are a man of African-American visage.
Yes.
You think this had anything to do with the many charges against you? Did you injure a police officer in such a way as to put that person in the hospital?
No.
What kind of injuries did police sustain from you?
It was just we were duking it out, punching it out, because I felt that, you know, a police officer going against me, you know, and when I'm not doing anything wrong, it's just I had to stand up for my rights on it.
Now, do you remember the circumstances clearly about the arrest and so forth, the incident?
Yeah, basically I was, you know, it had standing for me and somebody I didn't get along with, but, you know, they came along later on that night and, you know, start getting into it with me. But
what did they do?
Basically, one officer had hit me in the face, but, you know, this had stemmed from something that had happened like a month before that. It wasn't the first time I got into it with the police.
What was the name of the officer who hit you in the face?
Officer Brent.
Officer Willie Brent?
Yeah, British guy.
Under what circumstances had he hit you in the face?
It's just because we had got into it a month before. So basically,
under what circumstances did he get into with you? I mean, what were you doing? What was he doing? How did he happen to approach you?
I chose not to go. I didn't like the little thing that him and an officer got. Finally, later on, figured out he was a DA during the day. They were like, you know, fighting kids up and setting them up just so they can get put in jail.
Look out! How you doing, Robert?
Hey, man.
What's up, Chris?
That's what they was doing. They was trying to get kids put in, you know.
This is Officer Brandt, and this was up by Borders, or?
No, this is next to Santa Cruz Coffee Roastery.
And what sort of things did you notice that they were doing?
Well, basically, with me, I seen that the guy that I figured out that he was a DA during the day and a cop at night, they figure out what can set a kid off and make them mad.
Give me an example of something that happened like that.
Basically, they'll go, both of them go, like, if I'm in handcuffs, they'll go, the two will go to the side, and they get to talking and laughing, then they come back. And then what they did to me was, the cops start pushing me around with his chest, you know what I mean? Basically thinking I was just going to just keep letting them push me around and not do nothing about it, so I hit them.
This is Officer Brandt.
Yes.
And did Brandt hit you first, or did he push you first, or did you push him first?
Well, he was doing the pushing first, and I hit him first.
And this is a rather extensive interview, so I'm going to leave it for another show. That's Freeze, African-American man back in town. Saw him a couple days ago down on the Avenue Pacific near across from Borders. One of the few, not many places remain there in front of Borders for people to be. I mean, there are a couple of benches left, but you can't sit on the ground, and it looks like the population there has been, to a large extent, dispersed. We'd hope to hear an update from Louis LaFortune, but that apparently isn't happening. I'm going to be playing some more, at some point, stuff from the Michael Newdow, that's the Under God Pledge of Allegiance fight, to strike the words Under God from a mandatory recitation, or the recitation by government, I should say mandated recitation. Government-sponsored recitation. Check the website, www.santacruz.indymedia.org, for not only the latest on the city council's crackdown, I should say the Kennedy-Rodkin crackdown. The rest of the council was pretty silent, as it happened, on protesters and on me, among other people, and on homeless people, inferentially and secondarily. And I should say maybe that's to some extent the main agenda as far as keeping the status quo in place. That's a good website to go to, and you can also get stats on homelessness and what's happening in Santa Cruz, and it'll give you reference to other websites about what's happening with homeless people. I will be back on Thursday at 6 o'clock in the evening. I will also be at the Huff meeting on Wednesday at 8:30 in the morning at Baker Square, 1107 Ocean. Come on down. Need your help, your support in finding out what to do next to raise issues in forums that are effective. I think city council isn't the most effective forum to go to. We've got to figure out other places to go, other things to do. We need people, and we need your input and thoughts on it. If you can't come to the meetings, give your thoughts on the Huff line at 423-HUFF. Then on Wednesday evening, the SAFE meeting happens, again at Baker Square, this time at 6 o'clock in the evening. That's the Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, which is the street performers' union, trying to fight for the rights of people who are in who are actually making the streets of Santa Cruz a happier, more vibrant, and more diverse place. Those street performers that you like to see, but they're not going to be there very long. They're not going to be, and then we've lost some of our best acts because of the Rodkin-Kennedy laws. Indeed, it was Rodkin and Kennedy in 1994 who put through the first downtown ordinances, and they did it again in 2002, making it worse. So do get in touch. Tomorrow evening, Yolanda King's, I should say Tuesday evening, that's what it is, January 20th, 7 p.m., Santa Cruz Civic Auditorium, Living the Dream. It would be really interesting to see if any of those people at the Civic Auditorium want to live the dream in terms of how they treat homeless people and whether the Civic again attempts to exclude people like Joe Williams from flyering on the sidewalks as they tried during the Michael Moore situation. Stay tuned, stay in touch. You can also check the Huff website, www.huffsantacruz.org, for information. Much thanks for being with me, and I hope that we can do this again and continue this conversation 6 o'clock on Thursday.
I remember under your colors, I felt free and proud. Spoke with passion for the things I believed in. I raised my voice out loud. But I feel you spying now over my shoulder at each petition I sign. And I hear what clicking when I'm making a phone call. Are you out to see if I'm falling in line? Well, I've traveled through countries where folks aren't free, when dictators jail them if they dare to disagree. But red, white, and blue, have they conquered you too? Who are you standing for today? If I speak my mind and I'm over the line, will your soldiers drag me away? Red, white, and blue. Where's the host of my favorite talk show? Commentators, beware. Since he questioned the latest election, his talk show disappeared from the air. At the mall, my brother was wearing a t-shirt. It said, let's make love, not guns. The cops harass him, tell him he is trespassing, then arrest him right in front of his son. Well, I've traveled through countries where folks aren't free, where dictators jail them if they dare to disagree. But red, white, and blue, have they conquered you too? Who are you standing for today? If I speak my mind and I'm over the line, will your soldiers drag me away? I never imagined here in the land of the free, we could be made to fear, questioning the powers that be. Never believed I'd need to whisper so I wouldn't be heard, but I fear our freedom slowly being massacred. Whoa, red, white, and blue, we gotta liberate you from paranoia gone astray. Gotta speak our minds before our freedom unwinds, before our voices are taken away. Red, white, and blue. Red, white, and blue.
28 day women be. Unless I get too much of your seed, I mean, gotta flush themselves out too. But it's always sexual when they do.